here on Fesco and Dusty 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morning with you as well. Big announcement at 8 o'clock here from this show about this show with someone that you all love and watch all the time. Before we do that, the Mahomes Fear Factor. I want to dive more into this before we get into one word and before we get more into the Trey Smith situation. But real quick, is this good for Mahomes? Is it more great for Mahomes to have this sort of narrative or worse for the NFL?
I think it's worse for the NFL because, you know, Mahomes is going to be unbelievable regardless of what people are saying about him, right? Now everybody's trying to bury him. And, you know, that article pointed out the fear factor in Mahomes had been gone over the last couple of years. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Because he didn't have the deep ball. Like, he's much more of a quarterback than that. But I like the fact that they say the fear factor has been gone with Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's why it's important to blow out the Chargers on Friday night in the first official NFL game of the season, because everybody's going to be watching that game, right? It's a standalone Friday night first game of the year. Everybody's going to be paying attention because you've got people like Carrington who think the Chargers are going to be good. And then you have people like us who know the Chargers aren't going to be good and the Chiefs are going to dominate. But a lot of people are looking at this game, I would believe, on that Friday night opener as, ooh, is there a passing of the torch from Mahomes to Hebert? Are we going to see this kind of thing take place? And what I'm looking at is the opportunity for Patrick Mahomes to say, okay, you thought the fear factor was gone over the last couple of years? Let's go out there against the Chargers and go scorched earth and send a message, because everybody's going to be watching this game, right? What better way to change the narrative of the NFL season than in the first game of the year, that the first real game of the year that counts according to the NFL, you go out there and you light up that scoreboard and you make people think it was that first game against the Chargers and Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter in 2018 when he went scorched earth at a soccer stadium against the Chargers. And so that's why I think week one, this game against the Chargers, that first game of the NFL season, it is important for Patrick Mahomes and this team to go out there and show their utter domination over the Chargers. Because when you wake up Saturday morning, I guess we'll have to wait till Monday, but when you wake up, that narrative is going to be changed because Patrick Mahomes is going to put on a show. They're going to win like 41-0, and everybody's going to say, oh, I think we missed the boat on analyzing Patrick Mahomes. Go out there and crush them in Brazil, Patrick.
No, I think it's great. I mean, wake up a sleeping giant. That's all you can do,
right? That's right.
Bobby Wood Jr. doesn't make the All-Star game. Went nuts, right? Like, started to see that he wasn't being – now he's hitting 290, what, 296, 294, 13 home runs, 25 doubles, 30-some stolen bases.
Smash.
And it's like little things like that when we say that players don't pay attention, players don't listen. Okay, give me an inch, I'll take a mile. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're losing your strength on the dominance of the league. Okay, that's fine. Like, I don't know where the strength varied between Peyton and Brady. I think they both were respected for what they were. But I don't think when you looked at those two, you were like, one is miles ahead of the others, right? You look at Allen and Burrow, and I guess you can throw Lamar in there as well, as the other quarterbacks that have closed the gap on Mahomes because they produced. Mm-hmm. And that's just what it is, right? Like, that's who it is. And you look at Aaron Judge, right? He's the best, but there's Ohtani. There's not, you know, there's
Cal
there's,
Raleigh now too.
Well, yeah, he's hitting bombs and he's having a really, really, really good offensive year. But again, like, it's sometimes okay to make the league more competitive. But what do we say next if now the league is at its most competitive league, right? Like, Burrow's now fully fleshed into the NFL, knows the system, becoming more and more of a better pro. Allen as well, Lamar as well, Jaden Daniels on this list. And then what if Mahomes is, at this point, again, back in that old regime, what's the narrative then going to be?
Right.
Oh, shoot. You know what I mean? So, like, I always find that, and that's what I kind of look for when I watch Mahomes play. Is like, okay, like, Patty, I know you don't care. You don't care what us blowhards have to say about how good or how bad you looked in this game. But I think there are certain things that have given us indication that he does kind of
care. Yeah.
The counting on the fingers, the shrugs, the counting of the touchdowns, all that sort of thing. And I'm just really interested this year because I'm really hoping. I know the NFL, it's an oxymoron to say, like, well, if staying healthy, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
But I am all about, you know, what's going to see out of this year with Mahomes if he does have the supporting cast on offense plus that supporting cast he already has on defense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be outstanding. And I think he's going to – I don't want to say he's going to surprise people because he's not going to surprise me when he goes out there and goes crazy. But he will probably surprise a lot of the national narrative that doesn't want Patrick Mahomes to be on top anymore. And you know, there are people that have said they're bored with Patrick Mahomes. We've heard that throughout the entire offseason. Ben Maller's kind of talked about it with us as well. It's just the way nature of sports is. They're ready to write somebody off before that person is ready to be written off. I just don't remember this kind of animosity, I don't feel like, with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. It was like, we embrace both of them. And maybe because they weren't in our city, and I feel like we're defending Patrick Mahomes to the idiots abound. And I think what we have to do is keep that in mind, that it's the idiots outside that are trying to bring Patrick Mahomes down. It's nobody here in Kansas City. We're all supporting Patrick Mahomes. But I don't remember these conversations with Peyton Manning and with Tom Brady where people were trying to knock those two guys off. It was Manning, it was Brady, it was their league, and everybody else was a rung below them. Even Ben Roethlisberger, even Eli Manning, who won multiple Super Bowls, they were all a rung below Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And it was never who's better, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. It was just a good rivalry between the two of them. And we loved when those games happened. I wonder if that's the impression that people have maybe elsewhere outside of Kansas City. When it's Mahomes and Burrow or Mahomes and Allen, they just like to watch the game because it's those two quarterbacks going after it, like we did when it was Manning and Tom Brady going after it, you know, against each other for all those years in the early 2000s. But it feels like to me, man, like people want Patrick Mahomes to be done as a quarterback back in this league, and it's just not happening. He's entering the prime of his career right now.
And we saw a little bit of that with Brady right at one point. I think the Chiefs beat Brady on a Sunday or Monday night football game, and the whole conversation for the rest of that beginning of that week was, oh, it's over,
right?
Brady's done. People were really wanting
the Cincinnati game.
People wanted him to be finished. People wanted him to be done.
And that was 10 years before he was done, dude.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. And that's my point, is everyone's wanting Mahomes to be done right now. They're bored. We'll get ready for another decade or so.
Yeah, and you're right about that. And I think that's a good, you know, kind of comparison, because Tom Brady did hit, I don't want to say rock bottom, in 2014 when it was on to Cincinnati. That was just the Chiefs just destroyed him that day. And then we went on and won the wild card game the next day. It was a great 24-hour period here, obviously, in KC. But, you know, Tom Brady did not go into the dumper after that or anything like that. I don't remember who won I think it was Denver that won the Super Bowl in the 2014 season. But it wasn't the New England Patriots. I don't believe they were back yet at that point in time. But Tom Brady did not go away. He lasted another 10 years and won a few more Super Bowls after people said he was done and it was on to Cincinnati. Tom Brady did go scorched earth, because that's when people really started to doubt Tom Brady. And that's when Tom Brady said, screw this, man. You guys ain't doubting me. I'm going to show you that I still own this league, and basically went on another 10-year dominating run of the National Football League, like kind of the beginning of his second 10 years of dominance, you know?
Yeah, it's very interesting to me, like how people will try to find things, because obviously we've heard a lot of hogwash throughout what we've heard about Mahomes' takes, whether
that's like horseradish
or not. But there was some audio yesterday from Trey Smith via Ian Rappaport, or Ian, however you want to say it, in the world of sports. I thought we had it in here.
Ian, I got it right here.
Okay, Dusty. Sorry.
Either way, Trey Smith, one of the best guards in the NFL, is going to be a very rich man. Either way, he is going to be the highest paid guard in the NFL. It's really just a question of, does he get that multi-year to lock him up, to give him some financial security, to give the Chiefs some salary cap breathing room? Of course, it would help much more breathing room on a multi-year deal than on the one-year $23 million tag, where you have to take all of it. The two sides have been in communication. There have been negotiations. We do not know right now if a deal is going to get done, but at least as of this moment, it is a possibility. But I think either way, Trey Smith is going to be more than fine this year and for years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. You play this year potentially. I mean, what do we got till 3 o'clock this afternoon? It's been very, very quiet. I don't know what the radio silence means in this one. The radio silence in Chris Jones wasn't there. It was very loud. Everybody thought a deal was going to get done, and it didn't happen until very late. And so maybe the radio silence with Chris Jones means maybe something they'll still slip it in at 4 o'clock this afternoon. They'll give us a press release.
You or the media.
Well, it doesn't matter. It is Tuesday. But, you know, just kind of slide under the radio. Oh, by the way, Trey Smith has signed a 3-year deal or whatever it is that they want to say. You know, like it'll be one of those, oh, I wasn't expecting that one. I hope it is.
And like who texts who first in our group thing?
Yeah, right.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Got it. And then boom, 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 boom on X, formerly Twitter. We'll see all the stuff. But, you know, I would love him to get a long-term deal here in Kansas City. But I also want Trey Smith to get a deal that he's comfortable with. And I want the Chiefs to have a deal that they're comfortable with at this point in time. I like how they talk about the salary cap implications, too. It's freaking July, man. Like, but the salary cap is kind of already in place.
But I'm glad that you say that, because let me ask you this. If Trey does sign his extension, do they sign McDuffie after that?
Well, then they start to have those conversations.
Because he's next man up.
Yeah, he is.
He's just waiting in the on-deck circle like, come on, Trey.
Yeah.
Get a double here. Well, hit a homer. Let me get up.
Like, if they don't sign Trey to a long-term deal, then you don't... I mean, you could have the conversations with McDuffie, but you're not going to sign anything till the next...
Because that's
go
what I heard
around,
when he said
right?
Freeze up cap space. Obviously, you're... whatever. But I'm just saying, like, if that's the case, then, like, does that make the McDuffie move right after that?
Yeah, I don't think that it...
Because I know a lot of people said that he said... to multiple people, like he doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to stay in Kansas
City. He wants to be here. Yeah, mm-hmm. They want him here. It's a marriage that wants to happen, but we see marriages that want to happen and ultimately not happen because, you know, the deals get in the way. But, you know,
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't think with where I'm looking with McDuffie right now, I don't think there's any rush by either side to get a deal done per se. The salary cap is such a buzzword thrown out by these guys. Well, it's salary cap implication. It's July 5th. The training camp is starting. Yeah, you need a couple of bucks here or there, maybe because you have to sign a free agent because somebody got hurt. But there's ways to finagle that. Like getting this guy signed to a long-term deal, Trey Smith, that is, does not really have a huge, in my opinion, this year salary cap implications. And he comes off the book after this season. And so you get the benefit of that next year by not having $23 million on the book. I just don't get this year's salary cap implications.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
The Big Dumper got it done. We each chose our guy to win it. We were 0 for 3. Big
O'Neal
Dumper,
Cruz,
the favor.
James Wood, Byron Buxton.
Yes.
No, I took Rooker. I was rooting for Cruz, but
Rooker put on a decent show.
He had some
piss missiles.
Yes. He did. Yep.
And so did Cal Raleigh, his dad pitching to him every time it was inside the plate. It was crazy.
Dude hit his son, man.
yes, he did. And his son was catching his Cal Raleigh's brother was behind the plate. One word on the home run derby last night.
Was what it was. Was is the word that I'll use for that. Like, it's good. It's exciting at the beginning. It's fun, all the stories and all that kind of stuff. And then it's still guys taking batting practice. We still got to figure out a way to make it quicker. I think reducing it to 6 may be the way to go because it seemed like they were struggling at the end to fill the last two spots. You had Jazz Chisholm, who didn't belong there at all. Right. You had O'Neal Cruz, who did belong there but wasn't an all-star. And then you had Matt Adams. I mean, the hometown kid really didn't do a lot, you know, in the home run derby other than, you know, finish right ahead of Jazz Chisholm in that. So maybe you can cut it down to 6, speed it up a little bit more by having less contestants. That's what I would do. But overall, hey, man, it gave you what you want. You saw some star power. You saw some cool things last night. I love the combination of Pat McAfee, the wrestling belts, the chains, all that kind of stuff. I thought it was a good event last night for baseball.
Entertaining. I mean, I'd say par for the course, but that's more than one word, but it was entertaining. Like I said, it was relatable watching those guys mesmerized by those moon rockets, watching the kids on the field. Like, I thought what I really loved was Ken Griffey Jr. on MLB Network before the thing started. Or no, it was on ESPN. And he came out and he was clowning Tim Kirkshin because these other guys had suits on and Griffey's out there. He's like, Tim, you didn't get the memo with the suits? He's like, I'm a small guy. They don't tailor stuff for me, kid. And then he said the line that I thought was great when he goes, they go, what do you enjoy about here, Junior? He goes, because the guys play and watch me play and I watch their dads play. And now we all watch each other play.
That's cool.
And he was just going on. It was off the cusp and all this sort of stuff. And I thought it was great. And I thought it was entertaining. And I think we need more Ken Griffey Jr. And they said, so what are you doing tonight? He goes, just photos, man.
I was just saying, he's still taking pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Good for him, man.
He said, just photos.
That's cool.
We got the All-Star game tonight. One word.
Fun.
Yep.
glad the uniforms are back. People were complaining last night. Like, this is how out of touch sports fans are on X. That's why you can't take what they say on there with a grain of salt, because there's people complaining about the uniforms in the Home Run Derby last night. They need to go back to their old... Did you not notice everybody was wearing their uniform that was standing mm-hmm. there? They are going back. But mm-hmm. we go and complain when we don't know the answers, because that's what we do. The league immediately after last year's All-Star game gave the uniforms back, because, again, that's what the fans wanted. You sensing a pattern here with baseball?
Listening.
What the fans want, baseball is doing. It's great.
What a fan wants, what a fan needs. Cody, I'm teeing it up for you, buddy. Love, dude. I love this night. One of my favorite nights of the year. I'm a baseball geek. Like I said, I'll grill out hot dogs, Polishes, get the kraut, get the nachos, the fake cheese, the jalapeno. Binkley will be in my driveway by 6:15 p.m.
He's already there.
Probably. I wish I had one of those griller station dogs. One of the pool party went to this weekend. It was the girl's birthday. They bought one of those. Fantastic.
What do you mean, like a roller?
Yeah, dude. It was awesome. So you just went and put dogs on. Once there was like two or three left, you put more dogs on. So
did they have the sign that says cooked behind the
Now we got to figure out when we're going to get the taquitos and stuff. So shout out to the Funk
family.
They'll
use that maybe one more time in their life.
No, they said that they're going to start a business.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Good for them.
Let's go.
Just dogs, dude. You know how many times you just be in a neighborhood full of rich people? Hey, you want a dog, Marty? Sure, I'll take one. $2.
$2.
Yep. You know? Plus, kids love it. It's easy. It's safe.
For sure.
But no, tonight's fun, man. Tonight's great. Tonight's baseball. Midsummer Classic. Like, you get to see Ohtani versus... I mean, you get Tarik Skubal versus Paul Skenes tonight.
Yeah,
like,
for one inning.
That's fine.
That's all
I need. Right?
I wish they would pitch more. I really do. I think that would be cool. But they don't. They won't.
I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see Chris Bubich pitch. I love when the Royals get in. Last year was awesome when they put them all in the same time.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool to watch. So I'm excited. Hopefully Bobby Witt Jr. hits a home run and wins MVP. So that's going to be my vote. I'm going to put a little $5 wager, $10 wager on Bobby to win MVP. And hopefully the AL wins, even though it doesn't count.
The AL has won like every All-Star game but one in the last decade. It's been utter dominant. It's not for home field anymore, right?
No, hasn't been for a while.
For a while, yeah.
I think the last year they did was the Royals.
Was the Royals. I think you're right about that. No, you're right. It's been a decade now, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody says you can buy packages from QT of taquitos, dogs, etc. Donnie, Holly, you hear that?
Wow.
Go to Quick Trip and buy some taquitos and those egg rolls. Woo.
So good, the egg rolls.
That's what you want to eat at a pool.
Nobody wants an egg roll in a pool.
You
good
say
Lord.
That. Nine Miller Lights deep.
I want an egg roll.
Eight surf sides deep.
Give me a.
You got any more of those egg rolls over there?
Give me a hot dog at that point.
They had the condiments all set up,
nice.
Too. It was great.
In the college football world, rumors were spreading from Greg McElroy, who said a person, quote, in the know, believes Nick Saban will return to coaching, quote, if it wasn't someone notable, I would never say a word, one word on the GOAT of college football, Nick Saban, possibly returning to the gridiron.
Bad. You left, man. You stepped away. The game has changed. You don't need to come back. Now, let's talk about this Greg McElroy comment, because earlier in the day, Lane Kiffin said at Media Day that he expects Nick Saban to come back to the NFL or college. I would rather have Saban come back to the NFL. I think that would be fun, right? Bring Saban back to the NFL. Let him coach the Jets. And so is Greg McElroy quoting Lane Kiffin when he's saying a source, or is there somebody else out there that is a source on this that is saying that?
My one word is please. Please. I think when we talk about everything that we talk about what's entertaining, what's fun, what's relatable, college football, my entire life relatable is Nick Saban. Like, that's, to me, like, one of the faces of Mount Rushmore in college football from 2000 to 2025. I know he's been out for a couple years. But, man, it'd be fun to see him in this NIL madness.
Ugh.
Like, just to see if he – because, like, he's one of those guys. And I've said this about Bill Self. Once they figure it out and they know what to do, good luck.
But the problem is you're figuring it out, but you're still relying on other people to scratch those checks, right? It's not like it's a business where you're kind of turning over that money like the professional leagues are yet anyway. You're still relying on, you know, Mr. Moneybags over there in Mission Hills to scratch you a check every year that you can use on those players. What if that guy dies, doesn't leave the university enough money, or they stop writing the checks? Then what happens?
I mean, Patino was out. He went to Rutgers, took them to the dance.
It can happen. St. John's.
Yeah, St. John's. Yeah, I'm sorry, St. John's.
Yeah, but you only need a couple. Yeah, basketball's a little easier.
It is easier. But I'm more sort of the narrative of once you're out, getting back in.
For sure. Oh,
it can
work. Yeah,
especially
I agree.
In today's world.
One word, SEC football, any given Saturday. It's a Netflix sports series offering an exclusive look at key matchups throughout the SEC season. It does premiere August 5th. Witness the unparalleled pressure, commitment, and raw emotion it takes to be a D1 football player in college football's leading conference.
I think it's neat. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's dope.
Plums. Really cool.
Plums,
that's
baby, for sure.
Went straight to my plums, dude.
I mean, it's the best league in college football. I love how the Big Ten and the SEC are fighting how the playoffs should be. Like, they're the only ones who get a decision in all of this. Like, it's their playoff, and maybe if you play well enough, you're invited to our party type of thing. But, you know, I think it's cool. I think Netflix does a good job, you know, with those documentaries. And so, you know, when I'm on a plane this weekend, I'm going to be watching the quarterback. I've already got it planned out that I'm going to watch the whole thing when I'm flying. And so get that taken care of and, you know, download a couple of things and watch them on the flight and be able to watch them. But I'm excited, man. More stuff like this, the behind the scenes stuff to give you that relatability factor. Like, you become quote unquote friends with some of the characters in this stuff. You root for them. I mean, how many people were rooting for Kirk Cousins 2 years ago? Because he shopped at Kohl's, you know, like he became relatable.
How many people got
relatable?
More familiar with Joe Burrow watching this season? Like, you'll see on the plane, like, I've seen clips.
Yeah.
I'm going to fly out to the Gulf Shores this weekend. I think I'll probably steal that idea. That's a good time to watch that where I don't have to be dialed in.
Right.
I just have to watch. Mm-hmm. 2 hour flight. I can knock out what? 4 episodes?
Two episodes.
They're an hour. Yeah, okay. But even still, I mean, it makes the flight go by fast. You have nothing else you need to be doing. And that's how I can watch a show when I'm captivated on a plane and I know there's nothing else I can really do.
Yeah.
I'll be able to sit there and watch that. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing that. But the Joe Burrow, I mean, how he's portrayed in this one, I heard, I think it was Boomer Esiason talking yesterday about Joe Burrow and the way that he's portrayed in all of this. Kind of Aaron Rodgers-like, he used the comparison.
Really?
He said he's kind of like an Aaron Rodgers, kind of aloof, out there type of guy.
Interesting.
Whatnot. I'm like, huh, okay.
He's just a chill guy.
He's very chill. Yeah, yeah. I think he's pretty cool.
Chill Burrow.
Once you guys watch it, I think there's a conversation.
You've watched every episode.
I'm only 3 episodes in, but
my wife has watched the whole thing already.
Has she? Yeah.
Oh, God.
I've got a couple takes that once you guys watch, I'd love to go back and forth on Burrow and his mentality. Some pros and some cons.
Okay.